now you say it. I was just looking back here in the corner. We have almost a whole family sitting back here. It hadn't happened in a while, has it? Good to see you this morning. Miss Hope, good to see you. Saw you and your boyfriend here last night. He's enjoying himself, wasn't he? And it's good to see Armando here. And pray for their church, by the way. They start a Spanish ministry about 2 miles from here. And it's tough getting things started. It is just tough. And so pray for them. And he comes around here when he can. He's working a full-time job and also trying to start a brand new church. And you just run yourself to death when you do that. And but that's just part of it. That's the way it goes. And you give yourself to it, and you give yourself to it. But girls, good to see you. All of these are just little things when they first came here. And 14? 12? You were 14. Was anybody 14? I'm losing it again here, aren't I? All the girls came here just about. You wouldn't believe, just some of you know this, but they would come here, and I think it was Hope. Hope had the attitude, didn't she? Yeah. Now her husband's a pastor, and now she's trying to teach other people. Don't act like that. But she used to sit right back over here, and she would look at me. You remember when they used to wear chokers? Yeah, I remember you two used to do that all the time, too. And they would actually sit there and look at me and go like, yes. I thought, well, you little brat. And they were. And they got saved. And now look, her husband's a pastoring a church. You get what you sow. So there we go. But it's good to see you this morning, girls. God bless you. I'll introduce other people in a moment, but let me just tell you, I was just talking to Brother Cox and just how much I love him and care for him. Great, great friend. And not long ago, he called me and then texted me. He does it periodically. And I didn't call him or text him back. And I said, look, I apologize. And here's what he said. Watch, listen to this carefully. He said, Brother Bell, because we're good friends, I thought nothing about it. I don't need an instant response to know we're friends. I just don't know why you didn't call me back. But that's what he just said. Brother Bell, I never even thought about that. Because we are friends, I don't think like that. Isn't that a good statement? We this whole second guessing and assuming and what else could it be? It could be I just didn't call him back. And a friend said, because we're friends, I understand. Isn't that odd? In an instant, everything, right? But actually, it worried me probably a lot more than it did him. And I thought, man, I need to call him back. I need to text him. I need to write. I'm terrible at writing. Y'all know that. Brother, I should be quiet. And I just told him, and he said, Brother Bell, because we're friends, he said, I never even thought about it. I just figured you were busy, had other things to do, and it's fine. Isn't that something? No. We want to hold everybody to the wall anymore, don't we? That is so crazy. I'm going to retire and let somebody else take over. You handle it. It's a piece of cake. Anybody can handle this, can't they? Yeah, anybody can do it. When I first got started, I'll tell you this and I'll get out of the way. When I first got started, I was 5 years into the ministry. We just got started. And one day I looked around. I felt so sorry for other preachers. Do you know why? Because for the first 5 years, anybody that joined, family or person, I never lost one. Nobody ever left me in 5 years. Okay, now the sixth year. One family after another for a year left. One pulled this one, one pulled that one, one pulled this. It's like on a big rope. And you never know when the end of the rope's coming. It was right here. And I thought, up till then, I thought, these poor slobs, they have no idea what they're doing. After 5 years, I have admiration for a Mormon to hang in there for 5 years. But this is a lot tougher than you think it is. I preached a message one time, leadership's not as easy as you think it is. And I just felt sorry for myself one day and thought I'd preach on that. So anyway. I'm glad you're here. Dr. Darrell Cox, what can you say? A lot. What a wonderful, wonderful man. The reason we were late, we were talking about boxing and fighting. Spiritual stuff you wouldn't understand. Deep, deep spiritual stuff out here in the hallway. And it's just a delight to be around someone like this. So anyway, glad you're here. Dr. Daryl Cox is going to come and preach for us this morning, and I'm anticipating this. I really am. Thank you for being here. Let's pray, and we'll get him up here. Father, thank you for everything you've done for us. My goodness, it really doesn't get any better than this, I don't think. Beautiful morning, wonderful people. Preachers getting ready to come preach the word of God and just quiet in our soul. Thank you for, oh my good, how often does that happen anymore? I thank you for it. Dear Lord, bless the dear folks. May we look upward so we can have a better look outward. And I ask you for your help this morning. Please, in Jesus' name, amen.
Lately I've been looking back along this winding road to the old familiar markers of the mercies I have shown. I know it may sound simple, but it's more than a cliche. There's no better way to tell you than to say God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. And though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't trade them if I could. 'Cause through it all, God's been good. Times replay and I can see that I've cried some bitter tears, but I felt his arms around me as I faced my greatest fears. I've had more gains than losses, and I've known more joy than hurt as your grace rolled down upon me undeserved. For God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. And though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could. 'Cause through it all, God's been good. For God has been my Father, my Savior and my friend. His love was my beginning, and His love will be my end. I could spend forever trying to tell you everything He is, but the best way I can say it is this: God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. And though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could. 'Cause through it all, God's been good.
You don't need to stand up. You don't need to stand up. Keep your seats. I appreciate that, but you don't need to clap for me. And if the preacher tells you to, you do whatever you're supposed to do that he tells you to do. But you don't need to clap for me. I'm an old sinner saved by grace. I was thinking about when she was singing about God has been good. Now, I'm telling you. There is absolutely, if you knew my upbringing and my raising and all of my life, why I'd be standing here, there'd be absolutely no reason for it. I look at like Brother Bob over here, probably maybe some of the rest of you preachers, your mother and dad was saved when you come home from the hospital. And You went to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, all your life. I never seen a Bible till I was 15.
Yes, sir.
I never had seen anybody pray in my life till I got to grade school and seen the principal pray at the flagpole in 1960. 1961, I guess it was. I never seen anybody pray. Old principal said, "Boys and girls, bow your heads. We're lined up down the sidewalk. We're going to pray." I'd never seen nobody pray. We got inside the classroom. Miss Ruth Payne, that godly teacher, said, "Boys and girls, now I'm going to tell you what we're going to do. We're going to have prayer before we start class." And then when we got, I got my little bag out to eat my bologna sandwich for lunch and got me a 2 cents for a half pint of milk down to, they didn't have hot lunches, just had a little refrigerator down there. And you go down there and a woman's selling milk. You could get half a pint for 2 cents. And I got me 2 of them, I splurged. And I'd get my bologna sandwich and that little old oatmeal cake. And we got ready to eat them, preacher. And Miss Payne said, "Boys and girls, we don't eat unless we thank the Lord." And you know what? I learned more about God in the school than I did at my home. But when I was 15, I got saved. But I'd never seen nobody. I'd never seen anybody pray, read the Bible, nothing. In our home, it just didn't happen. So if I seem a little behind, it's because I am. I never seen anything like that. And I never did see anybody have devotions or see Dad. None of that stuff. I mean, never, no kind of nothing. But I look at it and I say, well, here I am preaching tonight and this morning, Lord's willing, and preaching, and you wonder how in the world would God take somebody, absolutely, an absolute nobody, I mean absolutely, and God save them and then put them. I really believe sometimes he does that to show you that it can be done with the least of things. And God said, I don't need much. I don't need very much. If I just need somebody just willing to do what I want them to do. And so he has been good. God has opened doors for me. He's opened doors for me. I was praying a while back about getting on some radio stations, and I really didn't have money. But I was praying. I didn't have money to go on the stations, and a man called me for a revival. I'll tell you this little story because I'm going to preach on prayer if you want to take your Bible and turn to Luke 18. And I was praying, Brother Bob, to get on this station. And to get on some stations in some different places, I had a burden for the radio. And this man called me for a revival. I didn't even know him. He said, would you come preach a revival at our church down the eastern part of the state of North Carolina? And I went there, and preacher had been there for 50 years at that church, over 50 years. But he's got a wonderful radio station. How many of y'all ever heard of Fundamental Broadcasting Network? Well, this man founded it. And he founded it. And I was preaching in his church, and he took me out and showed me all of his radio stuff. And I said, well, I'm on a station or two, but I'd like to get on more. And I'd been praying, God let me on some more. And he said, well, what is your format? What do you do? I said, well, I make a 15-minute broadcast and on a CD. And he said, well, send it to me. Let me hear when he broadcasts. So I sent him a thing, and he called me up, and he said, I don't have a good slot for you to put you on at this time if somebody goes off. But I said, any place is a good slot. Halftime people now don't go to bed. The people driving trucks and people up all night, working all night, stuff, every place is a good slot now. Anyhow, he put me on his station. What I did not know when I went on that station, that I was on other stations, many other stations all over the United States. I didn't know that. That's why I'd been praying. And he didn't charge me a nickel, and I sent him some money, but God took care of it. Amen. And now I'm on that station, but I'm on many others. And many other stations. And I try to get on stations where there ain't no stations. You know what I mean? I'm on in Dodge City, Kansas. We know Albert Schrock graduated from Hiles Anderson College. You know Albert was a Amish. got saved. You know, he bought a radio station in Dodge City and got that thing. I'm on two times a day, 11 o'clock at day and 11 o'clock at night, for 15 minutes a day in Dodge City, trying to straighten out all them truck drivers and cowboys goes through there. That's right. And but anyhow, they need it out there. Man, hey, there's not churches on every corner like there is in our part of the country. And so the Lord's been good to me. Boy, God's been good to me. God's been so good to me. Boy, I'll tell you right now, God's been good. That song ought to be sung all the time. The Lord's good. Luke 18. I'm going to talk to you about prayer. Boy, I'll tell you, Brother Bob's been doing some preaching around here. Boy, what preaching. Man, I thought last night about closing that book. It wasn't that a message? I wished a few times. Well, no, I wished a lot of times I'd done it. Brother Bill, I probably hurt people, and I didn't mean to. I wasn't mean to. Like I said last night, I ain't never tried to hurt anybody. I have, but I didn't mean to. You know what I'm trying to say? I didn't mean to. But I try to be more careful. And I want to leave this world one day, and people say, well, he helped me. He helped me. And so I want to be a help to you and to Brother Bell. I sure love him and love you preachers that are here today. And I love Brother Bell. He's a blessing. Brother Manning, good to see you. And I love old Brother Phil Manning too. In your Bible in Luke 18, let me just try to preach a little. And boy, this thing, you know, is about over. We got today and tonight. And it's hard to believe, preacher, that we've been through another Faith Harbor week. But in Luke 18, it talks about prayer here. And talks about, it said, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not faint. Saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward, he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. You know what the Lord's saying here? You listen to that unsaved man about that. He said, learn something from him. That widow came to him. I don't know what she was. She might have had a boy in jail, being getting ready to get executed. I don't know. But whatever it was, every day he'd open his chambers to go in there, and he'd look at her. She was. She said, Judge, I know you ain't got time, but and I don't want to take much time, but I just want to tell you again, have mercy on me about this. And every day, I could see him pull up, get ready to go in his office. He'd look. He'd say, there she is again. There she is. She must live right here by the door. Because every time I come, she's here. And the old judge just finally, I can see him saying, look, I want rid of her. Give her that. Get her out of here. I just give it to her. Give it to her. And you know what? He wasn't saved. He didn't fear God or regard man. He didn't care nothing about man or God, is what that's saying. But he said, because of her consistency, give her what she wants. Now, the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. Now, here's the difference. We have a judge. We have a Savior. Amen. That loves us. He loves us. He wants to give us. He wants to give us what we need. It ain't like an unjust judge. We have a just judge. We have a Savior that's looking out for your benefit and your welfare and looking out for us. He loves you. All he wants us to do is come to him. And he said, men ought always to pray and not faint. I'm going to give you this simple 3 points. Now, Brother Bob, you're going to have plenty of time to preach this morning, so I hope you got a long one. Because this one right here is short. This is a short sermon. Let me say this before I give you the sermon. He said a while ago, it used to be people didn't care. They'd stay late and it didn't matter. Hey, when I got saved, can I just tell you this? And I'll come back to the sermon. When I got saved, Brother Phil, I can remember this. And even when I first got in the ministry, anybody that was preaching within 100 miles, they'd say, hey, you want to go hear so-and-so? He's up here at so-and-so. He's going to be there two nights, and they'd be so many that somebody about have to stay home because they couldn't get everybody in the vehicle. There'd be so many wanting to go. And Brother Richardson, they'd drive 100 miles and listen to preaching all the way there in a tape player. And laughing, hey, hard preaching. I'm talking about somebody preaching the devil out of you. Listen to it and get out of the car happy as a lark. Go in the house of God and let somebody else skin you to the bone. Get back in the car, go to the Dairy Queen or somewhere, and sit till 11 or 12 o'clock at night eating hamburgers and milkshakes, and then get back in a car and still got 70 miles to go and cry and shout and holler all the way home, and get up the next morning, go to work, and was just running off of the fumes. I mean, you're still running off what God did, and maybe go back the next night. Are you following what I'm telling you? I'll tell you what's happened to us, and then I'll get to the sermon and make you happy again. Brother Bob, we're soft. Now, I know you don't like to hear that, but we've got so pudgy and soft that nowadays people can't handle it. So we have to be easy with them because it ain't the same brand. You know, you can't treat a Shetland pony like you did a plow horse. You can't work him like you did them because we got a different breed of horses pulling plows now. You see what I'm trying to say? Yes, let me try to give you this simple sermon on prayer. Just thought I'd throw that in there. Because I can remember times when last night would have still been, you'd just been getting ready to, about another 20, 30 minutes, and you shut the service down, then you're getting ready to drive 100 miles because you had to go to work the next morning. That's right. Over and over, that wasn't a one-time thing. That was over and over again.
That's right.
But let me talk to you about prayer. Three things prayer does. Three simple things that prayer will do. Number one, prayer brings the Savior to our tempest. Prayer brings the Savior to our tempest or our storm. You know, in Acts chapter 12, they locked a preacher up. And that politician, he was a politician, and it must have been elections was getting ready to come up, and he wanted to please the people. So he killed James with a sword. Is that what it said, Acts chapter 12? Now I want to show you something. Just turn back there. I can tell it without you reading it, but I want you to not think I'm making up something because it is in the Bible. In Acts chapter 12, I want you to look with me here in the 12th chapter of the book of Acts. I'm talking about prayer brings the Savior to the tempest. And what they'd done is they'd killed James, and now they was going to kill Peter. And they apprehended him. Verse 4 says, when they'd apprehended him and put him in prison and delivered him to 4 quadrillions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. But Peter was kept in prison. Look at this. But prayer. See, there's changes everything there. But prayer was made without ceasing. See, it was what he said, that men ought always to pray. Prayer was made, but they didn't stop. They didn't just say, well, let's just go down there and pray for the preacher, and then prayed 15 minutes and left. Oh, no, they prayed without ceasing. They prayed without ceasing unto God, see. But Peter was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. They was praying without ceasing unto God for him. Now, they wasn't just praying about everything. They was praying about one thing. So they were specific. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door that kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell from off his hands. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thine sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. Peter couldn't hardly believe it was true himself. An angel woke him up, said, put that garment on, put your sandals on, let's go, and you follow me. And the angel followed him. When Peter come to himself, he's standing outside the gate. Look at it. And they were past the first and second ward, verse 10. And they came unto the iron gate that leadeth into the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. You know what it is? God said, Peter, don't touch that gate. Let that angel open it. You'll make racket. Let me do it. And the gate swung open. And God opened that gate. And now here's the preacher. And then the angel left him. You know why? Because he knowed where to go. And then Peter went. He knew what was going on. Look at it. Verse 11. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. Preacher, here's our problem. We got powerless churches, but I tell you what to do. Call a prayer meeting and see how many people you got comes. That's the least attended thing you'll have. The least attended thing you'll ever have that a church will do will be a prayer meeting. People talk about pray about this, but not many people praying. But many was praying, and they was praying for the preacher. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, the damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but run in and told how Peter had stood before the gate. And they said unto her, thou art mad. And she constantly affirmed that it was even so. And then said they, it is his angel. But Peter continued knocking. And when they had opened the door, they saw him, and they were astonished. But he beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their beckoned unto them with the hand to hold their peace, and declared unto him how the Lord had brought him out of prison. Now, you know why the Lord brought him out? Because the people had asked God for help. See, Peter was doomed. He would have died if it wasn't for a praying church. See, you know something? The greatest thing that you folks can do for George Bell or do for your pastor is really pray for him. Pray a hedge around your preacher of protection. And pray a hedge of power. And pray for protection. And pray that God will provide. And pray for your preacher. Ask God to touch your preacher and be with your preacher. That's the greatest thing you could do for him, is to pray for him. See. And then you got to connect it. Sometimes the reason people ain't connected to their preacher, they don't pray for the preacher. They don't pray for him. But you pray for him. And you lift him up in prayer. But prayer brings the Savior to our tempest. You know, there in Acts 16, when Paul and Silas won that demon-possessed woman to Christ down there in the street of Philippi, Brother Dave, she got saved. And she went back and took her Ouija board and her crystal ball and her cards and handed them in and said, boys, I'm out of business. Right. They said, what happened? Said, two Baptist preachers took me down the Romans Road and I got saved. And I'm born again. And I can't do this no more. Well, they got mad because it hurt their pocketbook. Right. And they went and took out warrants and had Paul and Silas locked up, and they took them down, tore their clothes off of them and beat them half to death till blood was dripping off of them. Then took them in the inner prison, chained them up. And said, now if they get loose, we're going to hold you responsible, talking to the jailer. But that night at midnight, you know what happened? They held a prayer meeting back there. They had a praise meeting and a prayer meeting. And let me tell you, either one of them things will cause God to show up. You go to praising God in a church. Sometimes, and now let me tell you, sometimes we downplay singing. But let me tell you, when you get singing that really honors God, it really honors Him, brother. When it really honors Him, can I tell you something? That don't be surprised if in the song service the Lord comes in there. You know why? Because it's His people praising Him. And then when you get to praying, don't be surprised if God shows up. You say, why? That's what He wants us to do. And at midnight, they stood asleep and they got to praising God and they got to praying to God. And God reached down and got a hold of that jail and shook that jail. He sent an earthquake till the shackles fell off. Old Billy Kelly used to say, old Billy said, Elvis sung the Jailhouse Rock, but God was the first one ever rocked a jail. He said, God rocked that jail till the bars swung open. And that old jailer come in and fell down before him and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Amen. You know what? He heard him praying. Them other prisoners heard him praying. He said, what must I do to be saved? You know what God did? God showed up. So prayer brings the Savior to the tempest, to your storm. Remember when they cried out there out on the sea there in Mark 4? Master, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Guess what happened? The Savior stood up and said, peace be still. See, prayer brings the Savior to your tempest. Number two, prayer brings supplies to the table. Prayer brings supplies to the table. Jeremiah 33:3 said, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. You know, I started praying. I really did. I started praying there at our church. God, pay off this debt. We had a debt there of over $200,000. And I was praying, Lord, please pay this thing off. Please pay it off. It's heavy. $10,000 a month. Minimal payment plus everything else we had to have. And I said, Lord, this thing's heavy. And I want this building. If you would, Lord, I won't take the glory for it. But if you'll do it, I'll tell people about what you've done. One day I was in there praying. And it seemed like, and this ain't spooky, it's just the way it was, that God let me know he was going to pay it off. I got assurance in my heart. He was going to do it. And I got up. And I walked out of the auditorium where I was praying. And I walked back in where my secretary is, Bethany. And I said, Bethany, she's finance secretary. She said, yes, sir. I said, this year, sometime this year, God's going to pay this building off. He's going to pay his whole property off. Sometime this year. She said, you believe so? I said, I know he is. She said, how you know? I said, I was praying and I got peace. That he's going to pay it off. And it wasn't but a couple months maybe. Man called me on the phone one day, said, preacher, it's so-and-so, right out of the blue, just called me up on the phone and said, preacher, it's just so-and-so. And he said, how much money does the church owe? I said, I'm not sure exactly. I know it's just a little bit over $200,000. He said, can you find out to the penny? I said, yes, sir. Yeah, sure can. And so I called her. I said, what's the total payoff on this bill? And she told me, I forget what it was. It seemed like it was $201,000 and some odd cents. And so I called him back. And I said, this is it, $201,000 to go. He said, well, the Lord laid it on my heart. He said, pay it off. And he said, I'm going to be out of town, but you come by. And he said, there'll be a check. The secretary will have a check. You come by and get it. And take it and pay it off. I went and got it next morning and went down to the bank. I said, I didn't send that girl. I said, I want to watch this. I want to be standing there when they hand the receipt and the title over, you know, the deed and all that. Brother, I'm going to tell you something. That was the Lord did that. Because let me tell you how I know it was the Lord, because I didn't ask nobody for nothing. Amen. Do you know they said that George Mueller prayed in between $7 and $9 million? Now, $7 and $9 million when Mueller was living now would probably be $100 million or $120 million. And they said he never told a single soul a need he ever had. But he'd tell God. He'd tell God. You know, the Lord brings supplies to your table, don't he? I've watched God do things at our place. I've watched God do things for me personally. Supplies. Meet the need. Now let me tell you something. Listen to me. This is what I believe, Brother Bob, about when the Lord said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things shall be added. All these things, I believe, is food, clothes, and shelter, because he lists them right before that. So them's really a man's needs, food, clothing, and shelter. But you know, a while ago, she sang, God is good in my life. Let me tell you, he's took care of me. And he's took care of me and my wife. You know, when I become a pastor of Trinity Baptist Church, I had two kids, Steve and Rebecca, and they was little. Steve was four, Becky was two. And we took that church, and they said, we can't pay you much. I wouldn't let them tell me. Before I took the church, I wouldn't let them tell me what they're going to pay me, because I was afraid when they told me, I knew they didn't have no money, because I knew what kind of shape it was in. And I wouldn't let them tell me, Brother Richardson, I wouldn't let them tell me. I didn't want money to be a factor. And after I got there, one of the deacons sat me down and said, well, preacher, I guess now we need to, you've took it. We need to tell you what we can pay you. He said, we going to pay you $185 a week. And there is no gas allowance. There's nothing like that. No insurance. We got the parsonage you can live in there. $185 a week. And about a year later, then she's expecting Leah. Made $185 a week. Can I tell you this? Listen to me. But God met every need. We prayed. Man, I'd have people, I'd go here and there, and I never asked nobody for a penny. I never asked nobody for nothing. Nothing. But if I needed something, God took care of it. I preached with Bobby Robertson one time. I ain't going to take long. I'll be done in 5 minutes or so. Brother Bobby, I was preaching with him in a meeting, me and him, and he had a millionaire in his church. I guess the man might still be living. I'm not sure. But this man was a millionaire. And this man wanted to drive us. I didn't know it, but he asked Bobby if he could drive. The guy had a big old Lincoln town car. Back when Lincoln's was the longest from here to where Brother Bob's sitting, you know. I mean, there was a car then. I mean, it was long. We got in that big old car, and Brother Bobby said, let me get in the back where I can take my shoes off, turn sideways, where I can rest my back, my feet. So he did, and I sat up front with that fella. And Brother Bobby had a big box of outlines back there, sermon outline. And he preached to me all the way. He was looking through his outlines. He was trying to get what he was going to preach that night. And he said, Darrell, you ever preach this? I said, no. He said, well, take this down. He'd say, take this down. I got me a pencil, you know. I still got some of my outlines wrote down. He said, let me tell you. And he'd preached to me and this man. He preached all the way to West Virginia. And we went to West Virginia and we preached together. Me and Bob preached in that meeting. And we was coming back and that man said, do y'all mind if I stop at this clothing store? There's a big outlet. Do y'all mind if I stop up here? You'll at times stop and stop up here in Virginia at this big clothing outlet. I said, no, I don't mind. I got time. And we went in this big old warehouse, big old warehouse. And hey, I was pastor of a church. I didn't even really have a good pair of shoes. My shoes, they were pitiful. Old suits. Every suit I had come out of a Salvation Army store or a thrift store or something, all of them, everything. And so I just stand around in there, and that man walked over where I was at. He said, go over here and pick you out two or three or four suits and a nice overcoat and a hat and some shoes and ties and things. Go ahead and pick out what you want. Well, I wasn't used to nobody ever giving me nothing. So I just stood there. And old Brother Bobby come over. I said, Bob, that fellow told me to go pick me out some suits and an overcoat and a hat and some ties and a pair of shoes. And Bobby said, do it. Said that man. He said that man can. He said he could write a check for this store. He said that man's got more money in his pocket than this store's got. He said, he can buy this place. He said, that man's a multimillionaire. I still was hesitant. But you know, I'd been praying for some clothes and stuff. And you know what God did? God took, and listen, I walked out there with about two or three nice, real nice suits and ties and shirts and best I remember, even a belt or two and a pair of nice wingtip shoes and a nice overcoat, and I had everything. You know what? Listen, prayer brings supplies to the table. I've had buses give to me. I've prayed for buses, needed buses. I've seen God give us things that we needed at our church. He's given us things, and God puts them in there. Can I say sometimes, friend, what we ought to do, I believe God delights in us praying. I believe he does. You know my preacher, old Frank Pittman, let me tell you a story. This will bless your soul. I'll be done here in a minute. Frank said when he was a little old guy, lived in the coal fields, and I'm talking about way back there. Frank would be up almost 80 years old if he was living. He died of cancer. But he said when he was a little boy, his daddy got hurt in the coal mines working, and they didn't have nothing. And Frank's mother was a praying woman. Boy, she prayed. And one day, she'd been praying. Frank said, I heard her praying. And he said, I heard Mama praying, and she was praying. And she said, God, if I had $1, I could go today and buy some stuff and feed my family. That was back when a loaf of bread would have been 15 cents or something. You know what I'm talking about. And a little bit of bologna and some stuff like that. A loaf of bread or just, anyhow, she prayed for $1. If I had $1, I could feed my family. And he said, I heard her praying. He said, that day, Mama was out there, had a bucket of soapy water, scrubbing the front porch with a broom. And he said, she was out there scrubbing that front porch. And here come a little old pup, a little dog, that had been in a mud hole down the road somewhere. They lived on a little dirt road. And that dog had been down there in that mud, had mud all over its paws, mud all over its stomach, mud all over it, and said it had something in its mouth and its face was even muddy. And said that dog run up the steps up on her clean porch, and there she was trying to wash it off with soap and water. And said she took that broom and said, get off my porch. And sort of shoved that broom at that dog, and that dog, whatever it was he had in his mouth, he just dropped it and took off, run down off the porch. And when she went over to see what he dropped, she reached out and picked it up. It was $1 bill. It was $1 that dog picked up somewhere. And God sent that dog with $1 and dropped it on her porch. Now you say, I don't believe that. Well, you tell me how many dogs you ever had bring you $1 after you prayed. Let me tell you something. God brings supplies to the table when you pray. And God brings prayer, brings the Savior to the tempest and supplies to the table. And then let me say this. Prayer brings the Spirit to our task. In Luke 24:49, Jesus told them to go to Jerusalem and tarry in the upper room. To tarry in that upper room and wait on God. And them disciples got in that room. 120 of them, and they got to praying. And they prayed, and they prayed, and they prayed. And then, in Acts chapter 2, you know the story. When Peter stood and preached, and them others preached, the power fell. 3,000 got saved and baptized. You think about this. Folks, they didn't own a bus. They wasn't no church websites and internets. They wasn't anything. All they had was a prayer room and the power of God. And let me tell you today, folks, if the power comes to the task, if the Spirit comes to the task, we're going to have to get back to the prayer closet. Amen. If we get the power of God, if we get the power of God, I'll never forget. If somebody asked me the other day, preacher, what you think the difference is today in meetings than it was years ago? And I said, it ain't but one thing. It's the power of God. I can remember Brother Phil going way back yonder to some of them old sword conferences way back yonder. And listen, Brother Bob, I'd sat down and I was just a young preacher, but I'd cry like a baby when them men preached. I heard Dr. Robertson preach, Dr. Lee Robertson preach, and talked about winning souls. And I got out on the street after it was over, and I got in my car, and I was driving, and I was crying, looking over the windshield, crying, and I stopped and knocked on a man's door and said, sir, I know you wonder what's the matter with me, but I just left a meeting up here where a man preached on loving people and caring about people, and I just want to stop and ask if you knew Jesus. I said, I'm so burdened. You know what the thing was? It wasn't Lee Robertson. It was the power of God on Lee Robertson. Amen. He had the power of God. I remember one time Steve Robertson, Bobby's boy, said when he went to temple, he said it was going to be my last service, my last time I was ever going to be there. He said it was the day before graduation on a Wednesday night. I think he said he's going to have graduation on Friday or something. He says the last Wednesday night service. And he said Dr. Robertson got up on a Wednesday night. And this is what he preached. He preached where it said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus come into the world to save sinners of whom I'm chief. That's what he preached on. He said, here was his outline. Number one, Jesus. He said, or number one, he said, men are sinners. And he just talked a little bit about people being sinners. He said, number two, Christ is the Savior. And he said, preached on Jesus being the Savior a little bit. And then he said, number three, everybody needs you. Brother Richard says, and he said, I give an invitation. And he said, I counted as 38 adults. 38 adults in that service walked the aisle. And he said, I believe there's 19 or 20 of them baptized. Amen. Now you say, what was it? Let me tell you what it was. He prayed and the Spirit come to the task. Right. See, today we're pushing every button we know.
That's true.
That's we're pushing every button right. We know. Right. We're in panic mode. But folks, let me tell you something. If Christians would pray, it'll bring the Savior to the tempest. It'll bring supplies to the table. And it'll bring the Spirit to the task. Let's bow our heads. And our Father, we have all the resources. You've given us some wonderful things. We got more books.